now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
One more to Middleton. Sets his feet for three. Yes! Middleton, two threes in a row.
Butts Talk starts now.
The shot blocked by Portis and a rebound by Damian Lillard. Lillard down to court to Giannis. Hop step to the rim and a right-handed slam dunk by Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
Well, a nice win for the Bucks today, as that was a Brooklyn Nets team that gave the Bucks everything they had. A big game from Dennis Schroeder. Hot shooting day from both of these teams. But, you know, you go back to Friday night and the final 6 minutes were largely what sunk the Bucks in their late game execution offensively. Granted, much different defenses if we're comparing the Celtics on Friday night to the Nets today. But a much different story as the Bucks execute down the stretch. These two teams, what was most impressive was how they just traded big baskets and tough shots back and forth for most of the fourth quarter, but the Bucks made more of them. And I know Friday night we had a brief discussion over bench production and productivity from a handful of players. Bobby Portis was one that we talked about the most. Bobby Portis, the Bucks do not win this game today if it's not for Bobby Portis. 5 of 5 on his threes, hit some big ones in the third quarter, especially in that big stretch where the Bucks took the lead at, 109-108 and never looked back. Mm-hmm. Bobby Portis, not only that, 3 block shots, too. He was very active defensively. He was huge today, and so was Gary Trent Jr. in the third quarter especially, hitting some tough shots and doing more than just three-point shooting. 60 points from that bench. You don't expect that every single game, but those are games that if you don't win, you really are kicking yourself and feel like, man, we left something out there if we didn't win this game with that type of production. 855-616-1620, the number to join us today on Bucks Talk. Brandon, I would assume my name, first of all, I assume you have multiple game balls. I would assume I just named at least one of them.
Justin, you're good. You're really good at this. You got a future at this radio thing. Actually, today is just one. And you nailed it. Honorable mention to Giannis. I know he had a great night tonight. 30
points. Yeah. By the way, Giannis was really good too.
Yeah, but that's, you just kind of grow accustomed to that. But he was fantastic tonight. 14 of 22 from the field for Giannis. So he's definitely an honorable mention. But you kind of took the words right out of my mouth there, Justin. The Bucks do not win this game without Bobby Portis. And I'll say this, he's probably, if not the most, he's the second most criticized player when it comes to Bucks fans. He comes in tonight. You mentioned his stat line there, 23 points, 5 rebounds. But the 3 blocks to me just felt way, I mean, he had a few late threes late in that game that were obviously, that put him ahead for good in that fourth quarter. But those 3 blocks to me, Justin, really stood out. Because that's part of his game that people criticize him the most is his interior defense. So I thought having those were just fantastic tonight. 4 for 4 from the three-point line in the final period tonight. That was the difference in the ball game. He finished the night 5 for 5. I just got one game ball. I could give a ton of them. Chris Middleton will get an honorable mention with the late three in this game to kind of keep the Bucks afloat when they were trading haymakers late in that game against the Nets. But Bobby Portis, you nailed it perfectly, Justin. They do not win this game without the contributions from BP, and it would have been another frustrating loss because it would have started another losing streak for this team. So I'm glad they were able to kind of, you know, put a halt to that. And just fantastic, man. It just goes to show what this team is capable of, Justin. The lineups that Doc is able to utilize down the stretch. Giannis at the 5 late, Bobby at the 4. You got Middleton and Ajax, and it's just fun, man. It's fun. It's exciting. And you got to give credit to the Nets team too. Like they're a good team, you know, 10-14, but did not play like it today. They were fantastic today. Claxton, I thought it was Michael Jordan out there in the Dennis Schroeder jersey. I mean, just fantastic game from them. You got to tip your cap to them. I thought they were fantastic tonight, and they present problems for the Bucks, but credit to Milwaukee, man. A just fantastic win on the road. Ending that 2-game skid. You're above 500, and now you have the Magic on Tuesday, which I know we'll break down coming up here.
855-616-1620, the number to join us today on Bucks Talk. Bobby Portis, as we both mentioned there, you don't win this game without his individual contribution, but you also don't win if it weren't for one stretch in this game. I do want to get to that, and plenty of time to hear from all of you as well and take your thoughts on this Bucks win. We'll dig into it next on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Giannis going all the way to the basket, coast to coast, and Giannis banks it home. He's done that twice already this quarter, just taking it end to end. Antetokounmpo with 21. It's now 63-60, Brooklyn.
Giannis would finish the game with 34 points. He and Dennis Schroeder, the game's leading scorers. Brooklyn had no answer for Giannis on the interior. I don't know that there's a team that does have an answer for Giannis. But it really stood out today. So did the play of Bobby Portis, Gary Trent, the Bucks bench overall. Chris Middleton scored 11 points off the bench, played 20, got the sense that 20 is that mark, given what Doc said a little bit after the game against Boston and before today's game, and that we might have went a little bit past it, but it was the game situation. We really needed him down there to close the game. So 20 is probably where we're going to sit at for Chris Middleton for a handful of games here before you start to gradually ramp that up. And I thought he had some big moments once again, but just to see the gravity, you know, that sequence in the fourth quarter where Giannis was able to drive into the lane and kick it out to Damian Lillard, who kicks it out to Chris Middleton, and converts on a three there. Like, that's the type of thing that the Bucks have been missing. Not the ball movement per se, but how much it changes things when Chris and Dame are on the floor the same time that Giannis is attacking. But as we both said, they don't win this game without Bobby Portis and what he did offensively. But, Brandon, they also don't win this game if not for their close to the third quarter. Because that's where I think, you know, coming into this, I think a lot of Bucks fans were probably thinking, okay, this team doesn't do well in afternoon games or earlier tips. We'll see how things look here. And I didn't think they played bad. Dennis Schroeder was hitting tough shots. They were very active defensively. It just had the feels of one of those games where, okay, Brooklyn's going to play pretty well, and this is going to be a challenge. But it started to get off track in the third quarter. And with just under 4 minutes left in the third, the Nets go up 81-69 on a Nick Claxton basket. And that was the moment where I think, at least for me too, it was, well, all right, still a lot of time left. At least the margin hasn't extended to double figures. And then it did at about the midpoint of the third quarter. They get it up to 12, which was their largest lead of the day for Brooklyn. The game could have been lost there, because if you don't match the intensity, if you don't have an answer for that, and we're talking about going into the fourth quarter down double digits or worse than 12, not that it's insurmountable, but that's a much, much taller hill to climb. And the Bucks immediately answered. Chris Middleton goes to work, knocks down a pair of free throws. Giannis converts on a three-point play shortly after that. You get another look for Giannis near the basket. A.J. Green knocks down a three, and they close the quarter on a 17-5 run in the final 3.5 minutes of the third, just when it was starting to look like, uh-oh, wait a minute here, you're tied going into the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. That, to me, was without question the biggest sequence of the game.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you at all, Justin. I think part of that, too, I know you kind of read through a handful of players. I thought Ajax had a three somewhere in there that felt like it was huge. I could be mistaken.
I think it was
in the fourth
just game. After that, I believe.
That to me was big too. And that's what I kind of been harping on. I mentioned it on social media. I talked about it last time after the Bucks lost to Boston on Friday. Was like, he's got to be able to knock down those wide open shots, or at least take them to get those minutes up, because he is their best perimeter defender. He had 21 minutes tonight. He only had the 6 points, but he was 2 for 3 from the three. So I thought that was huge. But this has kind of been, in my opinion, the Bucks team has been a resilient bunch all year. And I know they're only 12-11, and I know a lot of people are gonna, you know, look at, you know, the 2-8 start and things haven't been sunshine and rainbows, Justin, but this has been a resilient team kind of all year. Now, they haven't been on the winning side a lot of these games, but to be able to navigate these rough waters to begin this season, that rough start, you had a handful of injuries. Damian Lillard kind of felt out of the game today. I don't know if you have a take on the set. He only had 7 attempts today, which felt kind of odd for him for playing 40 minutes. But they've had these moments where, you know, they just haven't been healthy and kind of fighting through a tough schedule to begin the year. And that's part of the reason, Justin, outside of the talent, outside of the head coaching, which I think is the right coach for the job. This is a team that has shown me already, and I know it's the first week of December, they're a resilient group of players with a championship mindset. And I think that's what the things that kind of go unspoken about into the playoffs, granted that they get there, which I think they will, but those are the things that I look forward to in a team is, okay, you got punched in the face. Are you going to get back up? And how are you going to get back up? And this team seems to be to answer that bell. And I know, again, they haven't won all of those games, but they've been close in a lot of those games when they haven't been at full strength. And that's encouraging for me as a Bucks fan.
The schedule, the tough, quote-unquote, part of the schedule has just been the cadence and the back-to-backs because, as we've mentioned, they haven't played the toughest schedule in terms of their opponent win percentage, but part of that is being in the Eastern Conference. Like, a week or so ago when we mentioned on the show, man, hard to believe, but the Bucks were in the bottom, 7 in terms of most difficult remaining schedule, despite the fact that it hadn't been overly challenging, and that's a big product of that being you're in the Eastern Conference. Another part I haven't checked recently because it's too early to talk about strength of schedule, but another part and why I would assume it's really rapidly changed is Philadelphia starting to win more games. Now 7-15, I think it is, on the season. And that was a big piece of what kind of dragged down the back half of the Bucks' schedule. But, you know, your point on Ajax, I do want to touch on that because it was one of the bigger questions that I had coming into the season, not to discount what he brings you defensively, because, you know, night in, night out, you've basically said, hey, go get him. Whoever the toughest matchup on the perimeter is, that's who you've got to take. Greg Buckner has made some comparisons to Isaac Okoro and what he did for Buckner with that defense he coordinated for the Cavaliers. Today was a challenge, too, with Dennis Schroeder, but the offense was always going to be the okay. It's the opposite of A.J. Green, where we said shooting is what cracks open the door for A.J. His defense is what's going to keep him on the floor. For Ajax, I mean, it's clear what opens the door for him. The offense and how you use him is going to determine how much he continues to play. Not that he's going to be out of the rotation, but the minutes. Like, we've seen a handful of games where it's 9 or so minutes because, okay, the offense, we've seen guys just sagging off of him and they're playing 5-on-4 defensively. We've got to pull him. I think there's a couple of things that we've seen from him offensively that has me most optimistic, and to me, this is what he needs to continue to really enhance and be known for. We'll get into that conversation coming up next on Bucks Talk.
A round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Leaves it over for Portis, left wing, enters into the post here for Giannis. Giannis right back out to Portis for a left wing 3 in the lead. He's got it all caught, Bobby Portis. Timeout, Brooklyn. Third 3 of the fourth quarter for Bobby Portis.
23 points today for Bobby Portis, 5 of 5 on his threes. This is the first time since 2017 the Bucks have had a pair of players score 20 or more points, both coming off the bench. 2017, February of 2017, the last time they did it, those two players were Chris Middleton and Greg Monroe. And the opponent was the Brooklyn Nets the last time the Bucks did it. So, yeah, you get Bobby Portis today and Gary Trent Jr. as well. 855-616-1620, the number to join us on Bucks Talk. I want to get back to the Andre Jackson Jr. discourse here. So, Brandon, you mentioned he's going to have to be able to hit those threes. I think for the most part I agree, but the tricky part for me is it's very similar to the Giannis discussion that went on for years of he's got to hit threes. And I think what we have all kind of settled into is not necessarily, like, he's got to have something else. You need a mid-range shot, the Dirk one-legged step back. We've seen him take quite a few times. The little baby hook that he has as well. You just need something else in that area. It does not have to necessarily be threes. And I think the point is the same, at the very least similar, for Andre Jackson Jr. The issue with it is, again, the minutes that Ajax and Giannis are on the floor together. Like, if we're applying that to Andre as well, then you're basically saying, well, there's 40% of the guys on the floor at any given time that the opponent does not have to worry about at all behind the three-point line. So that's where I kind of come in on yes and no in that. To me, the most important thing is he's got to be able to attack the rim. And I think we've seen him do that really well in transition. You know, a couple of times where, what was it, the Miami Heat game, where he had two transition finishes. One was left-handed. Today, he had that play where, credit to him, it was Andre and Giannis on the break. And you know the Brooklyn Nets, and any opponent for that matter, in those situations are going to say, I'm not leaving Giannis. Like, we're tagging him all the way down the floor. Go ahead, man. Knock yourself out. And he did a tremendous job of creating that space, waiting until the last possible moment in a very athletic feed to Giannis for the finish. But those are the spots to me that I know there's something we have that we can work with here. You got to just finish. Finish at the rim, even if it means putting the ball on the floor. Like, you create that spacing and have him out there for some looks, which are going to be open. I would like to see more of putting the ball on the floor and attacking the rim, because we've seen, you know, a pretty decent volume of finishes there. He's got to hit corner threes. And he has not taken a high volume. And granted, he doesn't take a high volume of threes, period. But of those threes that he is taking, he's taking less corner threes this year than he did last year. And to me, that's one of the things of, need to see that number change. We need to see that go up. Like, if you're taking threes, we need to figure out how those are coming from the corner.
Yeah, and I think the other thing with Ajax too, Justin, I don't disagree with taking it to the rack either. I think that's a great point that you make. I almost want to see him be a little bit more selfish at times, because I feel like, I know he's the connector, as Doc Rivers likes to put it, and he's not always looking to score, and that's fine. But there's a handful of times, I wouldn't say handful, but there's a few times each game where he gets that ball and it's in the paint, or he's in the dunker spot, or he's open for a shot, and like you said, either take it or put your head down and get to the rack. I would just like for him to kind of be a little bit more aggressive when he has those opportunities, because I think when he has those opportunities, we've seen him, you know, today, I know he didn't have a high volume, but he was 2 for 3. I mean, that's all I need. I mean, for him to get those minutes up, you know, he's got to be some sort of threat offensively. Doesn't need to be the number 3 or 4, you know, leading scorer of this team, but I think he's got to present a little bit more aggressiveness on the offensive side of the ball. And I think today he was, you know, wide open at the top of the key for that three, and he nailed it, and that got the Bucks kind of rolling late in that third quarter. I do got to ask you a question though, because you're so fantastic about explaining things. The television broadcast wasn't even sure on that challenge that Doc Rivers made on the Ajax block. That was deemed a block. It was a successful challenge, but they were still awarded the 2 points. I wasn't listening in on the radio broadcast. I had the television broadcast on, so I wasn't sure I don't know if Josh had a better, you know, somebody explained it to him, but it was very weird. I mean, Steve Novak was on the call and he had no clue, said he's never seen it before. So I was very confused we're talking about Ajax. That was a fantastic block by him.
Yeah. I mean, the Nets got a basket on it. So the challenge
but
was,
how?
Yeah, it was a clean block, but the whistle didn't come until after the basket. So it's kind of like the early days of challenging in the NFL, where it was, oh, we already blew the whistle, so you can't challenge this. It was pretty similar, which I don't have a problem with that. If, you know, yeah, Ajax doesn't get the foul, you did make a clean block, but the Nets kept with the play. They got the putback and scored, and we blew the whistle late. I don't have a problem with the late whistles in those instances. If it means everything before it, we can review and change. So that's the one area where, yeah, if you're going to call late fouls, fine. Like, I get that. So that was why they got the 2 points. But, yeah, it's very rare and uncommon that you – good news, bad news. Good news, you won the challenge. Bad news, we're going to add points to the scoreboard for the Brooklyn Nets. Just to finish those thoughts on Andre, too, he hit one corner three in the first half. You mentioned that one at the top of the key. That, to me, is the area where I would like to see more attack mode.
Sure.
From Andre Jackson, because those above the break threes are what he's struggling with the most. I mean, no surprise there that the corner threes are the shortest and among the most efficient shots in the league, but shooting just 29% on those above the break threes. And again, it is not a high volume of attempts. I think it's only 15 that he's taken this year. But that is the notable thing, is I would urge, it's a very small sample at a quarter of the way through the season for a player that does not take a high volume of shots, but in terms of efficiency, he's taken a step backward offensively this year. Now, part of that, I think you could attribute to his minutes have virtually doubled this year versus last year in the role that he's playing. He is definitely taking on the most difficult challenges on the offensive end. There, maybe that was split a little bit last year, but I think we started to see him gradually separate himself. But he's playing just under 20 minutes a game. He's taking the toughest defensive assignments. And I think, I don't want it to sound as if I'm suggesting, well, just we don't care whatever happens. But I think last year was different in the sense of, all right, we'll see what you can do, because we've tried everything else. Like, whatever we find, it's found money, whatever Andre Jackson Jr. does. And this year, you went through camp with Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers got a much better view of him and A.J. Green and all the young guys a season ago at the back half of the season, where you were able to form more expectations and figure out, this is what I want you to work on. This is how we're going to utilize you. The role is much more defined this season, and what you need from him and what you're asking for on the offensive end. And I think that's a part of it too, that it's not this natural, just go play, you know? I agree to a sense that I would like to see him more aggressive, but you know, it's just kind of similar to the, does he need to shoot more threes? Does Giannis need to shoot more threes? Like, you are what you are. And that's not Andre Jackson Jr. as a player. You know, he is a very unselfish player.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good connector. He's a great defender. So really trying to figure out, what do we think we can enhance even more offensively in terms of where we space you, what it is in your shot profile that, hey, what do you think you do best? All right, let's figure out how to get you into those spots, because you're going to get the looks when you're on the floor with Giannis.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes Chris Middleton coming back, Justin, even more exciting for me, because the stress of having, you know, more scorers and more shooters on the floor is diminished with the presence of Chris Middleton. And like you saw at the end of the game, I mean, you had, I believe they finished the game with Giannis, Damian,
it was Giannis,
Jackson,
Bobby Portis, Ajax, Dame, and Chris.
Right. Oh, man, that's fun. That's the creativity that Doc Rivers is able to utilize with this roster is just, it's fun. I mean, and you're leaving, I mean, look who you got on your bench. I mean, I know Boston's really good, and I know Cleveland's really good, but man, this roster to me is just so fun. It's so many pieces that you can utilize. I mean, Gary Trent Jr., you sat on the bench, he had 20 points. He was 3-for-7 from three. You had A.J. Green on the bench, you know, at late part in that game. Like, you have so many opportunities throughout the course of this season to utilize so many of these pieces. But that's what I think is going to enhance, you know, guys like A.J. Green, guys like Andre Jackson Jr., Gary Trent Jr., who has really come out, you know, into what we expected when the Bucks gave him that vet minimum contract to come out and had a slow start. And now he's starting to kind of, you know, feel a little bit less pressure, I think. And I think that's the benefit you have when you got a guy like Chris Middleton, who's looks fantastic. And the connection him and Giannis have is just, man, I hope Bucks fans can appreciate. Not, and I've said it before, you got to appreciate Giannis and not take it for granted. Chris Middleton, Justin, is right behind number 34 when it comes to that. He's a special player.
And I mean, granted, didn't have a huge statistical or even sure. a moderately yeah. big statistical game today. I would put Brook Lopez in that same group as well. That one of the more underappreciated players.
Yep.
Not even by his fans, like across the league.
Yeah, absolutely.
When he wraps things up here. You mentioned that closing group, and that to me is the interesting part, because it's still going to be a challenge, but that might be the way that you are able to confidently keep those guys on the floor for extended periods of time. We'll get into that conversation next here on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
Dick Lillard, one more to Middleton, sets his feet for three. Yes! Middleton, two threes in a row, that time on the extra pass by Lillard.
Yeah, Damian Lillard, you know, you mentioned a low volume of shot attempts in this game. A couple of things I would point out there. Giannis was feasting all game. Bobby Portis started to heat up.
Sure.
And there was just a lot of ball movement. And I do truly think part of this, too, was Doc Rivers was very blunt and candid after that game against the Celtics on Friday and where he felt it was lost and what he was especially troubled by. In those final 6 minutes of the fourth quarter, we saw the exact opposite. Basically start to finish today. Like, ball movement was never in question. There was a lot of that. And I think that's part of it for Dame. But the larger piece to me is one of the things we've touched on for most of this season, and that is, you know, even on the nights when he doesn't have it, Dame, well, I think it's 8 times now this season that he scored 30 or more points in a game. 8 out of 23... In a year where most of the discussion is Dame's efficiency numbers, you know, lowest since the last, 6 years ago in Portland or whatever it was, he's still getting that volume of points. And I think that just backs up, you know, I talked about this with Marcus Johnson a couple of weeks ago. I know there's a lot of chatter of, oh, it's 34. That's when it starts to be the downturn for guys. And sure, naturally, there is some of that. But I would be much more worried if Damian Lillard was just not getting to the rim at all. You know,
and he
like
clearly is.
When you stop taking your twos and when you're settling for long mid-range and most of your shot profile is threes, that's typically the number one telltale sign that you have started to transition into a different phase of your career. We haven't seen that yet with Dame. But I think, you know, 15 points. Would I say he had a great game? No. I thought he had a very good game, though. 15 points, 11 assists. That's the other piece. Is we've started to see more of it for Giannis. This discussion, you have to look at points created with those assist numbers. With Giannis, it's typically leading to a three, but you look at those assists and the probable assists, too, where he creates the look and maybe the shot doesn't go down. With Damian Lillard, I don't think we can solely focus on his points scored, because I'm not going to say he isn't an alpha, but Giannis is the alpha on this team. But with Dame, we have to look at the points that he is creating for his teammates in those same regards, the assists, the probable assists as well. When he's getting into the lane, touching paint, creating the defense or causing the defense to react, and then spraying the ball out to the perimeter to a number of open shooters, that is as impactful as anything. And in today's game, Damian Lillard contributed 27 points on assists. So, I mean, you add that to his 15 points. It's a 42-point game for all intents and purposes for Damian Lillard. So I think that's an important part of his game that has not ever wavered throughout the course of this season, even on nights where he doesn't have the, you know, a high volume of shots, 2 of 7 today, or the accuracy. He is still finding other ways to score by getting to the free throw line and getting into the paint, but also getting his teammates involved. We did mention the closing lineup for the Bucks with Giannis, Bobby Portis, Chris Middleton, and then Andre Jackson Jr. and Damian Lillard. It's still going to be a challenge, you know. Like we just mentioned, you only got 5 players on the floor, so any time that you have 2 players where you say we don't really have to worry about them beyond a certain point on the floor. And in the case of Andre Jackson Jr., I'm sure the thought for opponents is going to be, we don't have to worry about this guy, period. But when the other 3 guys on the floor are Damian Lillard and Chris Middleton are 2 of those 3, that does help. It's still not ideal, but the way that you can structure the floor, and Doc talked about this before the game too, like you can run actions from both sides of the floor. That, you know, if you got Chris at the top of the key or Dame at the top of the key, and you got Giannis on one of the elbows, you got, you know, Dame or Chris, whoever it was, in the other corner or somewhere, you're being able to run plays all over the floor where the defense can't just load up and say, okay, Giannis is here, let's shift some of our coverage there. And, you know, if it means an Andre Jackson Jr. or somebody can do a back cut on us, fine, we'll live with that. You can't do that when Chris Middleton's on the floor.
No, and I think that's why the excitement and the frustration and the worry, Justin, was, you know, when 22, is he going to come back? Is he okay? You know, I think that's where you saw a lot of the anxiety amongst fans, including myself, was like, because this team is so much different, man. I mean, go back to what you were just talking about with Damian Lillard. If you go to any team in the NBA, Justin, any team, and their top one or two players had 7 shot attempts, they're probably losing that game, more than likely. If Jason Tatum has 7 attempts against the Bucks on Friday, the Boston Celtics lose that game. I mean, you can, unless you have a career night off the bench, like most teams are going to lose that game when their first or second option has only 7 shot attempts.
Well, I would counter it with Gersan Yabusele only took 5 shots for the Sixers today, and they won. So, I mean, he's...
I suppose.
He's been one of their best.
Point awarded. Point awarded. But you know what I mean, though. Like, that's the benefit that this Bucks team has, and that is partially because of Chris Middleton. And obviously, when you have Giannis, that changes things. But this team is so deep, and that's the fun part about this team, is also Damian Lillard not forcing things and creating 11 assists, which I think is a big thing for him, and we've seen it kind of all year. It felt like he's in that double-digit assists category more times than he's not been. That's the part, if I'm looking at this team and I'm looking at the whole roster, that I'm excited for, Justin. Yeah, 12-10 is not going to, you know, get me, you know, jumping off the couch, but the prospect of this team being healthy and being together, they can beat any team, and when you have multiple options and you have multiple ways and you have guys that have carved out specific roles for themselves and they know what their role is going to be and they're still honing those skills and trying to adapt to that role, that's the make of a championship team. Now, you're not going to win the championship in December, although you could win the NBA Cup. You're going into the right direction, and this team is going into the right direction. They had a couple of tough losses this week, but they were right there with Boston on Friday night, you know, in a game that could have went either way. And, you know, I think if they see Boston again, it's going to be a good series.
Yeah. It's a very interesting stretch of schedule coming up for this team. We briefly touched on it Friday night. I do want to get into that and preview of sorts what's coming up next in the quarterfinals, a game that certainly changed as of yesterday with the injury news for the Orlando Magic. We will do that and wrap up the show next on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
I'm on top of the world. Hey, I'm on top of the world.
All right, back above 500 now at 12-11 on the season. As we start to wrap things up on this edition of Bucks Talk, we got another NBA Cup version coming up on Tuesday. And, you know, Brandon, not to get lost in the shuffle here, the other important part of this to me is you kind of got the sense this was the feeling. I don't think Doc Rivers would ever come out and say this, but if I am on that coaching staff or in the locker room and a part of the team, my goal, go forward, like, we are not going to fall below 500 again. You know, you saw the 2-8 start, you saw the work it took to get back and how much we celebrated getting back to 500. But, okay, great. We're not looking back. We're moving forward. So winning today allows you to avoid that. But you got to start to peel off some more wins to really start to put that in the rearview mirror. And Tuesday, I think these are two very fascinating NBA Cup quarterfinal games, 4 for that matter, when you got the Rockets and the Warriors, and you got another playoff rematch of the Mavs and the Thunder. But in the East, we've got the Knicks and Hawks, speaking of playoff rematches, and we saw Trae Young and the Hawks beat the Knicks already earlier this season. I'm very curious to see that game on Wednesday night. But for the Bucks, I thought this was going to be a massive challenge, and I still think it is going to be. The Magic have an elite defense, and Jalen Suggs, we have seen, really put a lot of premier guards in this league in straitjackets. That's going to be a tough test for Damian Lillard. So it really helps to have Chris Middleton back. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and what he brings in perimeter defense and three-point shooting. But the big challenge was they got an elite defense, and you know Paolo Banchero had a 50-point game this season. Then he tears his oblique, goes on the shelf. In his absence, Franz Wagner took over, and he has really ascended here. Now he tears his oblique.
All-star numbers from him, too, man.
Yeah,
he's been
so
great.
I mean, their offense struggles, to put it mildly. They're in the bottom 10 in the league. Those two guys are their offense, and they are both. We know Franz is out. I would expect Paolo is still going to be out. I know he is targeted before Christmas, which is any time between now and Christmas Day. but it doesn't sound like he is going to play. So that makes this a less daunting challenge, but you cannot overlook the Magic in their defense and what they're going to be able to do.
I still fully expect, Justin, I'm going to say this probably all year long, and I know they're not going to beat every team, and I know they're not going to win every game, but I think the Bucks have a shot in any game that they play in. When healthy and when they're, you know, running the way that they're running and remaining above 500, I think they have a shot to beat any team in any moment in any arena.
So,
and I think Tuesday they'll do that.
And I think the Rockets, Hawks, and the Magic would be the surprises classified. If you just told,
yeah,
you surveyed 100 NBA fans and you said, okay, here's the NBA Cup, here are the eight teams that advanced, I don't know how many would have pegged those three teams. So we're going to get one of them moving on to the semifinals. We may get one of them in the finals. Which in that group is most likely to you?
Most likely? Houston, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a fascinating game with the Rockets and the Warriors. I still get the feeling it's going to be a Bucks versus Hawks rematch in the semifinals on Saturday night. And we're going to be basically treated to Trae Young versus the Bucks, kind of like we saw last year with Tyrese Halliburton versus the Bucks in the semifinals. Hopefully a different result. But Tuesday night is that broadcast. The Bucks and the Magic from Fiserv Forum. Make note of the tip time. It is a 6 o'clock tip. 5:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, Brandon and I will be back after the game with Bucks Talk. We'll talk to you then.